Well, good morning, everybody. Isn't it great? It's Christmas time again. There's lots of joy and lots of happiness around. I was just looking around the congregation just before the service began, and that music was playing, and it was upbeat. And I looked around, and there were a couple of people who were clapping, and I could see smiles on the faces. I guess that's the way it should be for Christmas. Christmas is a very special time. Christmas is a wonderful story, isn't it? It's about a family, and we can all relate to that. But this is a family with a baby born to Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem. It's about humility, because this baby was born in a stable where animals were meant to be housed. And then it was laid in a feed trough, a place where you feed the animals. And that was this baby's cot. It's about the wonder of a bright star shining in the sky. It must have been incredible. And it's a story about angels appearing to a group of shepherds out in the fields. Certainly, that holy night, God's love had come down to us in the person of this baby, Jesus Christ. Out in the fields that night, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, a huge angelic choir sang an anthem of worship and hope, which said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Now, there's various different translations of that, but that's the basic translation. So when we hear this first Christmas greeting, we marvel at the wonder of the scene, and our hearts resonate particularly with the message of peace. I think we all desire peace in our own hearts. We desire peace in our own families. We would all like to see peace truly come to our world, which is often so turbulent and so violent. 2,000 years after this incredible divine proclamation was made, as we look across the earth, we may well ask ourselves this question. So where is the peace the angels proclaimed that night? Even if we only stop to think about the things that have taken place this year, 2024, hopes for peace on earth seem nothing more than an idealistic dream. According to the website Armed Conflict Location and Events Data, big name, this year there are some 50 countries across the world that have been involved in wars or conflicts or civil strife of some sort in Africa and Asia and Europe, the Middle East and South America. Estimates by conservative research groups tell us that in 2024, between 153 and 233,000 people were killed in these types of conflicts. That's somewhere between 400 and 600 people who are killed in some sort of armed conflict every day. And we're not even talking here about crime. We're not talking about other things that shatter our world or take away our peace. When Karen was introducing this segment, she talked a little bit about how, you know, we get stirred up even at this time of the year. Everything's so busy. We've got to get our presents. We've got to get the tree up. We've got family coming. We haven't got family coming. Whatever it is. And it seems like there's not a whole lot of peace that's in our world today. And sometimes that's even true of us. News bulletins bring something of the violence of war in the Middle East and the Ukraine right into our living rooms on a nightly basis. In the last 14 months, we've looked with dismay at attacks on Israel by Hamas and Hezbollah in Iran and the Houthis in Yemen, and then, of course, the devastating results of Israel fighting back in Gaza and Lebanon. Why do I mention these things? Well, ironically, much of the action that's taken place this year and people being killed is not even 75 kilometres from Bethlehem. Not even 75 kilometers from the shepherd's field where those angels appeared on that night. Now we could go on and have seemingly endless statistics and stories of peace being shattered in lives across the world. But there's no doubt that the majority of people on the earth really do want peace. We really do want to see people living in harmony. This is evidenced by the fact that if you do a simple Google search, as I did during the week, I put in the words, searching for peace. And there were more than 23 million sites offering their thoughts on ways to find peace. This is a major subject in our world. And a lot of people are confused, as you see on the screen right now. You know, people write about this lack of peace in their songs. In 2001, Irish group U2 put out a song called Peace on Earth. One part of that song reads like this: Heaven on earth, we need it now. I'm sick of all this hanging around, sick of sorrow, sick of pain, sick of hearing again and again that there's going to be peace on earth. Jesus, can you take the time to throw a drowning man a line? Peace on earth. To tell the ones who hear no sound, whose sons are living in the ground, peace on earth. Jesus, this song you wrote, the words are sticking in my throat, peace on earth. Hear it every Christmas time, but hope and history won't rhyme. So what's it worth, this peace on earth? Well, you can really hear the sense of despair and hopelessness coming through those words. It's the sort of thing that comes when somebody just observes what's going on in the world around them. So we may indeed wonder, will there ever be real peace on the earth? We may wonder, perhaps in a different way, will I ever find peace in my own heart? And some of us might even wonder, did the angels get it wrong? Why would God do something so miraculous, so wonderful, so magnificent, as sending Jesus to earth surrounded by messages of peace, if peace were not possible? Would he give us a message of hope that he couldn't fulfill? Well, of course, the answer is no. In fact, for every one of you who hear this message today, God has given us the only real peace to be found anywhere on this earth today. And that peace is to be found in his Son. It's to be found in Jesus, born that night so long ago. You know, we miss the story sometimes because Christmas seems to come every second month. Life goes so quickly, and we miss the story sometimes. When we talk about peace, there are different concepts that may come to mind. There is the peace that is the absence of strife and conflict and war. When we've been at war, peace in that sense is just a fantastic blessing. Some of an almost now past generation experienced the joy of peace when hostilities ended 89 years ago with the conclusion of World War II. There was dancing in the streets and such a sense of relief and overflow of emotion, peace at last. Then there is the peace we can enjoy when life is quiet and harmonious and orderly, and we all desire to live in a quiet, safe neighborhood and to be free from troubles and conflict with other people. But there is yet a third type of peace, one that very few people ever consider in our world. And it's the most important peace of all. If you miss this peace, the other peace will mean nothing long term. This is the peace that comes from being in a right relationship with God, with our sins forgiven, with our future secure, and our hearts comforted. This is the real peace of Christmas. This was the real peace that the angels were singing about. You know, the Bible tells us a time will come when all three types of peace that I've just mentioned will be seen on earth together. And this we can really look forward to. At that time, there will be no more wars and killing and violence, because Jesus Christ will come back to earth a second time as the Prince of Earth, a Prince of Peace, I mean, who will literally rule over the whole earth in an era not seen before in any time in history. These powerful verses, often read at Christmas time, convey that promise. For to us a child is born, that's talking about the baby who was laid in that manger. To us a son is given, God giving his only begotten son to us. And the government, the rule, the dominion, it says, will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And listen to what it says here. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now, I want you to notice those last words. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That means this isn't some idle promise of a time to come. This is something that God is putting his seal on. He's guaranteeing it. There's going to be a time on the earth from Jerusalem where David will rule over, not David, but on David's throne. Christ will rule over the whole earth. And there will be 1,000 years of peace upon this earth. And we can read more about it, what a fantastic time this is going to be. Isaiah writes, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of a cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What an amazing, amazing time there is coming before us when even nature is going to be in harmony. Micah chapter 4 and verse 3 says, he will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up nation against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. When this baby, this king that was born, when he reaches the point of fulfillment of all that he's come to do, and he reigns upon this earth, when the government will be upon his shoulders, when he sits on the throne of David, there will be no more war. Nobody will be spending all this money, these millions and millions, this obscene money that's spent on how to fight and kill other people. That will all be in the past. That will be gone. God has promised us that time will come. Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Now speaking of when that time will have come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. This beautiful future peace will come, but it's future. In all its glory with Christ reigning, something amazing for us to look forward to. Indeed, peace on earth across the whole earth, but it's yet future. Now, as we come back to the great proclamation of the shepherds in the fields, it is clear they were not proclaiming universal peace at that time among all people and nations, but peace with God. The angels sang and they glorified God because from the time of Jesus' birth, God's peace was now available to all people individually, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you've done. And dear friends, that's the message of Christmas. And it's a message for today. And it's a message for you. And it's a message for me. Somehow intuitively, somehow deep within us, we all know that there has to be more than just freedom from war or harmony and order in our surroundings. The philosopher Epictetus, who lived around the time of the writing of the Gospels, said this: while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he's unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns even more than for outward peace. A lady by the name of Regina Carson, on a website called Reaching Out for Peace on Earth, writes this: violence is forever. It festers in the soul like a cancer, passing to the spirit of one's children and grandchildren. Long after nations have settled their differences and peace proclaimed, memories live in the heart and soul. Peace to the individual spirit is much harder won than that for any nation. Healing is painful, and sometimes it seems the most unreachable dream. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like you just crave to have peace and you just don't seem to be able to find it? It seems to be elusive. Real peace begins with humility before God. Humility before God, not Santa Claus, not Christmas trees, not gifts, not jingle bells. Humility before God, who loves us so much that he didn't want to let us stay in the state that we're in our world still even today. He didn't want to let us stay separated from him. So in his love, he sent his son to bring peace in our relationship with our Creator. The source of all true and lasting peace is only Jesus Christ. And that's why the angels were singing on that night when they cried, "Glory to God in the highest." They were reminding us that there is a great God over all things, the creator of the universe, the one who made each one of us. Not one of us here is an accident. Every one of us here is precious and special to God. The angels gave the greatest and highest glory to God. He is the source of all things. And then from him is this wonderful gift of love. On earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. This is the peace from God. It's the gift given, but it's also a gift to be received. You don't receive it automatically unless you turn your heart back to this one who gave you the gift and you receive it from his hand. So how much peace do you really have in your life? Jesus came to restore us to God, and when we're at peace with God, we also find that there's a peace that overflows to people who are around us. He came to bring the peace of sins forgiven and guilt removed. And though in life we may experience trials and conflicts and difficulties, as we seek Jesus in our life, we find peace in the midst of chaos. My favorite hymn is "O Holy Night," and very shortly I'm going to play it. But just before then, I just want to go through some of the words, and I want you to think about these words. "O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error, pining." In other words, that sense of loss, that sense of "I wish things were better." "Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth." I wish I could convey to those of you who don't know Jesus that sense of Jesus coming into our life and giving us a peace that is beyond understanding, a peace that's beyond anything we experience just in our lives. The soul felt its worth, the scriptures, the song says. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And then the only response, fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, the night when Christ was born. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger. In all our trials, born to be our friend. I'm not naive enough to think that there isn't one single person in this room who isn't going through trial or difficulty or heartache or loss or sorrow or loneliness. In all our trials, in everything we go through, Christ was born to be our friend. The scripture calls him our advocate, who is with the Father in heaven. We have one who's not very far away, one who wants to bring us his peace and wants to bring us blessing in our lives. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. These things are all blessings that come in Christ. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. With all our hearts we praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. There's a beautiful song for us to remind us. And when we play it shortly, I'm going to ask you just to take a little while. You can sing with the song if you want to. The words will be on the screen. But I'm going to ask you just to think about those words and to contemplate. Do you have peace? And if you haven't, why not? Why not? Nobody's asking you to pay $1 million at the door to receive peace. God gives you an offer. It's free. It's to you. All it requires is that you receive it from his hand. All it requires is you turn your heart toward him. Him who is your creator. So who can access this peace? The one on whom his favor rests. Those who place their trust in Jesus. So the secret of finding peace is to take Jesus, take God at his word. So what a celebration. The Prince of Peace was coming into the world. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't give you the end part of the story, because this was just the beginning of the story. This was the beginning of hope and the beginning of peace. Some 33 years after his birth, Jesus gave his life on the cross to pay for our sins, the sinless for the sinful. Paul would later write in the New Testament concerning Jesus, he himself is our peace. And then we read that God was reconciling us to himself by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So where is the peace? Well, it's not found in the world's diplomacies and man's effort to stop wars. It's not found in treaties, and it's not found in wishful thinking. True peace is only found in that right relationship with God. And a right relationship with God is only found by placing our faith in Jesus. Here's a Christmas blessing that I wish for each one of you individually. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're a young person, I wish this for you. If you're an older person, may you know God's peace through Jesus Christ. May you know peace with those who are around you. May you know the love of family and friends. May you know forgiveness and compassion towards others. You see, that's part of peace, is letting go of the hurts and forgiving others just as God has forgiven you. These things make up the true blessing of Christmas. So for those of you who won't be here on Tuesday night, on Christmas Eve, on behalf of the church, we wish you a very, very happy Christmas, and we wish you God's blessing. But we certainly wish that you will find this peace that only comes from the Lord.